time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I whipped out my red glasses this morning. I whipped out the red ones. I'm always being accused of being angry. Well, I am. So I whipped the red ones out so there can be no doubt about it. I'm steaming on the inside. And as I said the other day, said last night on Hagman and Hagman, who made anger a bad thing? How many of you in your life have been motivated by anger? How many of you in your life have been motivated by anger for a good reason? To go do good, to be angry and to sin not. You got angry and you went and did something good about it. It wasn't a sin. Anger is not a sin. Why is it the church wants to make turn all of our passion? Most guys, most of our passion and most of our zeal comes from anger, or maybe that's not the right, discomfort, anger. I get, you ever have a mosquito bite you? Do you pray that he would leave? Are you swatting? Daggone it, honey, where are those mosquitoes come? Anger is a motivating factor. And they've tried to tell us, for whatever reason, fake religion, fake Christianity has told us that you're not allowed to be angry. God said he's angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. Why can't I be angry? I'm not allowed to be angry. Listen, I don't live in a state of anger. Yes, my wife. I'm a good husband. I think, am I, honey? She ought to stomp on the floor and say, yeah, I'm a good husband. I'm a good grandpa and a good father. I'm a good community member. I go play golf. People like being around me. I'm a fun guy, but I sit right on the edge of anger. And you know, it's righteous anger.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah,
you know, I taught English for 1 year in a school, and where it says be angry and sin not, it doesn't say but being angry at certain things, you're not sinning. But if you're not being angry, you are sinning that you don't get angry at that. That's the way I take it.
Yeah, you turn just the other way, Larry. Right. And so I'm tired of it. See, I'm tired of it. Tired of the talk. I had a chance to be on Hagman and Hagman last night, and I was on for I don't know, about 45, 50 minutes. And I think I dialed up the temperature a little bit. And see, what's sad is people watching that show probably are saying, oh, he seems so angry. Why aren't you angry, folks? Why aren't we angry? See, if we could fast forward 20 years after the rapture hasn't come, if we could fast forward 20 years and we look back over our shoulder and we see what we permitted and we see the fruit of what we permitted, then we're going to really be angry. So if we won't be angry, we'll be disappointed in what we permitted to happen. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When something makes you angry, deal with it. Deal with it. Why and where? You hear about the angry white man. Oh, he's just an angry white male. You ever hear the angry Chinese male? Every angry Japanese male? The angry Hispanic male? The angry black male? No. It's always the angry white male because they're trying to brainwash us. I'm going to show you some of that here this morning. You'll be glad you tuned in. In fact, you ought to text somebody, say, Coach has got his red glasses on today. Coach is fired up and he's hot. Again, the thing I think it's disappointing to me the most is our team doesn't have any idea what's going on. I go get on Facebook. I read down, scroll down, and I read some of the stuff that's on Facebook, and I cannot believe that Christians are saying what they're saying. You know what they say? Violence is never the answer. Violence, war is never the answer. That's never the answer. Well, what does Ecclesiastes say? Does Ecclesiastes say anger is never the answer? War is never the answer? Is that what the Bible says? Does the Bible anywhere say violence is not the answer? In fact, in Luke, Chad, where was it the other day, where somebody said something about Jesus telling them to go get a weapon? That was in Luke, I think. Oh, boy, I'm turning your theology on its ears now, aren't I? Turning your theology on your ears right now. And hey, listen, I'm not for violence. I'm not for that. But to say that violence is never the answer, how stupid are you? How stupid are you? If you'd happened to have been down there at Charlottesville and that mob began to throw urine on you, didn't time to get angry? Didn't time to get violent and push back? You're just going to lay there and let them continue to do that? Come over and take a dump on you? Is that what you're going to do? Where did we get this idea that we're not allowed to be violent? Does anybody know where that is in the scripture? Somebody help me. Because Chad, was it Chad that gave it to us the other day? Said, go buy. Deal.
Luke Pastor 22, 38.
I'm Luke 22, 38. Get that, Jared. Luke, go to Luke 22.
Or 36.
Yeah, 30, get to Luke 22. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to say this as clearly as I can. I'm not for violence. I'm not for it. I'm not promoting it. I don't think it's time for it. I hope it doesn't come. But for the Christian church to teach people that violence is never the answer, they don't read the Bible. They do not read the Bible. Because there is, according to Ecclesiastes, a time for war. Now, who would that war be with? The same God that wrote all those love verses in 1 Corinthians 13, that same God talked about war. So Pastor Dale brought this to our attention the other day, and I just want to, right-wing watch, listen to me. I'm not telling people to go get weapons and arm up and begin to shoot. That's not what I'm telling, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just reading what the Bible says here. Because fake religion will tell you something different. Verse 33 of Luke 22 says this. Peter, he was just chastising Peter, Luke 22, and all those guys. And keep on going down. That's not it. There it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And he said unto them, Lord, I'm, verse 33, I'm not ready to go with you. I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death, Peter says to the Lord. And the Lord says to him, I'll tell you, Pete, before the cock crows this day, three times, you're going to tell people you didn't know who I am. Shut up, Peter. And he said unto them, verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without a purse, without scrip, and without shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord, we didn't lack anything. I said, okay, boys, but now things have changed a bit. He that hath a purse, money, let him take it. And likewise, take his scrip with him. And he that doesn't have a sword, go sell your clothes and get one. For I say to you that this is written, must you be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said unto him, but Lord, we're two swords. And he said, yep, that's okay, that's enough. Got both hands filled with the sword. Because Jesus knew that when this new kingdom came, there was going to be a clash of the kingdom. That the guy, whoever was in control of the old kingdom, wasn't going to give it up. That it was going to be a conflict. And he said, listen, now that I'm out of here, I didn't want to start a physical war, Jesus said. I told all you guys, put all those swords and all that stuff away because I came to die. And when I go get on that cross, they're going to have nothing in me. They won't be able to charge me with anything that I did. And so he said to him, okay, boys, the end's about here. He says, okay, boys, I've stirred up a hornet's nest here. I've stirred it up really, really good. And they're going to crucify me and I'm going to die. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to hate you guys so much that you got to be ready to defend yourself. Go sell everything you got and get yourself a couple of swords. Be ready to defend yourself. So the idea that God was, that Jesus told us just to roll over and let him have it. Are you kidding me? He said, get two swords. Get two swords. Well, we're at those days. I hope there aren't any of you watching this show right now that are going to let them beat on your wife or your daughter. You go to a rally. You go to some type of rally. I don't care what it was, a peaceful rally. Let's say a God Bless America rally. You go to a God Bless America rally, and these God haters show up, and they start throwing urine at your wife, and you tell me you're going to stand there? Say, oh, honey, just suffer for the Lord. Are you kidding me? You're going to do that? That's what they've programmed into Christians. That's how we're supposed to respond. Oh, Lord. So I want to open your eyes to something today. Go to Colossians, Jared. Colossians real quickly, and then I'm going to dive into the Word. I haven't even taken a good look to see who's here with us today. Who's joining us? We only got 16 people. Come on, folks. Get in here. We want to hear from all of you. Jump in here. Anybody got anything to say before I get you to Colossians 8? I'm going to show you again. Never take a scripture out of context. Never use one scripture. I don't want to take the time to read through it. Colossians 2, Jared. I'm sorry. I don't want to take the time to read through all of Colossians, all of this, but I want you to see Colossians 8, verse 2, chapter 8. Let's start in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as not see my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and in all riches of the full assurances of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom all are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Listen, they don't like Trump's enticing words, by the way. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have received, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But here it comes again. Be aware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of the men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, by the way, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereas also you've risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out therefore out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, that no man therefore judge you meat or drink or in respect of any whole day of the new moon or the Sabbath days, for we are the shadow of the things to come. Watch this. The body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you or reward you in voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding unto those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his flesh and mind, and not holding, listen, the head. Watch this. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to order? Taste not, touch not, handle not. Which all are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in the honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So, Coach, what are you saying? Vain philosophies of men. Fake religion. Things that they teach you that men have made up. Doctrines of men. Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God none effect, telling you you're not allowed to be angry, you shouldn't push back, violence is never the answer. All of these lies are around us, and they are not the truth. And we have to remember this, that only the truth can make us free. Time out. I'll take these off in a minute. Did that sound too radical, fellas? Are you telling me there's never a time for violence? Are you telling me that? I'm not for violence, but are you telling me there's never a time for it? Help me. Somebody help me. Some nicer than Jesus guy out there tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead. You broke up a little bit. Yeah.
It sounds like it's never been heard before in the modern church, just reading that chapter.
Right.
Oh, incredibly radical. In your face. Get ready. It's coming. It's a slap in the face to most of the church body today. And if they don't receive the slap, they're going to be knocked over and they'll be gone.
See, here's the thing. We glazed right over. He says right in there,
yes.
Christ is the head. What is he the head of? He's the head of the body. He's not the head of the bride.
The head of the body.
Christ isn't the bride. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. We're not the bride. Better quit thinking we're womanly. We're not a bride.
Amen.
We're the body. We're the body of Christ. A masculine Christ. Amen. With a masculine body. With the body of Christ. We conquer kingdom. According to Jesus. Now, it makes people mad. I was reading something today Pat Buchanan wrote. I wish I pulled it up there. Say what you want to. I was talking yesterday about white men. You have any idea? Oh, boy. Here we go. You have any idea how much of the world was conquered by white men? You guys have any idea? Huh? You have any idea? And if I help me understand this, Christian white men, I believe. Christian white men. Now, we can say all the things we want to, that their actions weren't very Christian, but they claim to be Christian white. They claim to be Christian. Anglo-Saxons took the gospel of the world without any violence. Did that happen? Did we use violence against Hitler? Was Hitler? Was that a good thing? We used violence over there? Hirohito, we dropped the bomb. Was that violence okay? Why is the church okay with war, with governmental violence, but they're not okay with personal defense? Personal. We're not okay with that. Oh, no. Violence is never the answer. Oh, no. You got hate in your heart, but government, we're gonna bomb Afghanistan. Yeah, ooh, rah, ooh, ooh, ooh. What is the word? We're not dyslexic. We're nuts. We're nuts. Hey, Coach. The government can bomb. Oh, no. Brother, we just pray for them, let them beat on us. Go ahead, George.
Coach, you know what? That's a great point. You know what I think that is? I think because when you're for all this governmental violence and these ungodly wars, there's no skin in the game. But when it's personal violence, you got skin in the game.
It's like I heard somebody say the other day, George, before any senator or any congressman can vote to go to war, they have to put their own children in the military first. Every time they go cast a vote, they have to put a loved one on the front line. Because it's easy for them to send your children to go fight the wars that they started, right? This is liberty, man. This is coming back to. I'll fight to the death for my family. I got some guns. Do you guys think I'm crazy?
No.
I'll fight to the death to preserve my family.
Amen, Coach.
I'm not gonna go fight to the death to try to get somebody's property. I'm not gonna fight to the death to try to get a position. I'm not gonna do that. But if somebody picks a fight and they're coming after my wife and my children and my grandchildren, they better pack a lunch because it's going to be a full day. Is that not Christian?
Right.
Somebody help me here.
Hey, Coach, I got a question. recalling my history, the Puritans, the basic founders of our nation, did not they tar and feather people and put them in laughing stocks and make a display out of ungodly men? Isn't that the purpose? They did stuff like that. They were showing their anger.
Ray, didn't they kill some Indians? Huh?
A lot of them.
Kill a lot of them. We're being played for fools. Okay, I'm gonna show you something today. Most of you don't know this. You may know this, the pushback that I get through emails and Facebook from people trying to tell me how to be a good Christian. Most of them people who aren't Christians tell me how Christians are supposed to behave. I was listening to Doug and Joe Hagman talk last night about they're being destroyed through lawsuits, just frivolous lawsuits. If people sue you, you got to defend yourself. Somebody sues me, I got to hire Roger Weaver to defend me. Costs a lot of money to do that. Why would anybody want to do that? And so the left knows that. So lawsuit. You go broke trying to defend yourself against stuff you didn't even do. It's an evil, wicked system. And they figured it out. They know how to box Christians in. And they're able to box Christians in because we're worried about losing all of our stuff rather than standing for righteousness. I saw in our local newspaper three women yesterday, a mother, a grandma and daughter, and a friend drove off the side of the road, hit a tree, killed all three of them. Their life's over. And all that stuff they worried about and all the money they They secured everything. It's all gone now. It's of no effect on them. I don't know where they are spiritually. That's not even the point of it. If you think that you can hang on to all this worldly stuff, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, here's what's going on, boys. By the way, this. Judge Moore got 40% last night. I'm going to talk about that yesterday. Maybe I get a chance here today. He got 40%. The Republican establishment candidate, Luther Strange, who was appointed by the wicked governor, Riley. I don't know if you know the story down in Alabama or not. The one endorsed, Trump endorsed Luther Strange, who was appointed to take Jeff Sessions' seat. Luther Strange has been there since Jeff Sessions was sworn in as Attorney General. So Luther Strange, who's basically a crook, was endorsed by Donald Trump, if you can believe that, in this election. Well, the runoff was yesterday. Judge Moore got 40%. Luther Strange got 30%. And some guy named Brooks, who's a right-wing conservative self, got 20%. So Brooks and Moore got 20, 40, 60%. There'll be a runoff here in a couple weeks, Moore against Strange. Judge Roy Moore is going to go to the Senate. He's going to go to the Senate. He's going to go to the Senate. Mitch McConnell put all the money they could behind Luther Strange to keep him in the Senate. Judge Moore is going to the Senate. A good thing. Why? See, again, Trump, sometimes you wonder about the advice he gets. Why would Trump put a guy in who's... See, Trump needs to take a position against all incumbents. That's where he ought to be. All incumbents out. All of them. Give us new people. He didn't get it yet. Okay, so here's Jared. Click on... that's not what I want. Oh, don't tell me. Oh, Jared, it's the other one. Let's click on... Here's what they're doing to us. Cultural Marxism. Boys, here's what they're doing to us. I want to take you a real quick lesson. For those of you who haven't been watching as long as everybody else, I've already done a lesson on this, but I'm going to give you a real quick lesson here this morning on it, okay? This is Cultural Marxism, and this is a website called Know Your Meme. Know Your Meme, okay? Cultural Marxism, they're trying to make this debate. They are doing everything they can to undermine Trump's support. They're trying to do the old divide and conquer. They know Trump has strong following and support. So now they're trying to slice off support. See, now they're trying to say, see, all you Trump supporters, you support the KKK. Did you watch the press conference yesterday? How they kept zeroing in on Trump and the KKK and white supremacists. And it's cultural Marxism. It's divide and conquer. They're trying to peel off soft Trump supporters. That's what they're trying to do. They're not trying to do anything else other than get rid of Trump's support. They know how strong it is. The media is in on it. Fox News is in on it. They're all in on it. It's cultural Marxism, okay? Cultural Marxism is a conceptual term used to describe the idea that culture is the main driving force for inequality in the Western world. Since its coinage by American sociology professor Trent Schroyer in 1973, the term cultural Marxism has grown into popular conspiracy theory among far right-wing political conservatives who assert that the normalization of political correctness in modern society is a Marxist plot collectively undertaken by influential liberals in academic, artistic, and cultural spheres to undermine Western traditions and Christianity. That's not a theory. That's going on. Online, the term is frequently used on political images and message boards such as 4chan's political board. They're talking about the memes. Stay with me. The term cultural Marxism is believed to have been coined by American sociologist Professor Trent Schroyer in 1972, The Critique of Domination, The Origins and Development of Critical Theory, which the author identifies the Frankfurt School's critical theory, a school of thought focusing on reflective assessment and cultural critique through application of social sciences as the origin of a cultural industry that imposes socially unnecessary constraints of human freedom and ultimately the social domination of the individual. Their cultural Marxism, the purpose of it is to undermine all the rules and regulations and standards in society. That's it. The quote says, as advanced industrial societies developed, the individual was more integrated into and dependent upon the collectivity and less able to utilize society for active self-expression. So in the following decades, the Frankfurt School, using that as a design, brought about the destruction of individualism, was further expounded upon by other mainstream academics, yada, yada. However, during the late 1990s, The meaning behind cultural Marxism became increasingly diluted and detached from its original context as many right-wing and neoconservative commentators, such as William Lynn and Pat Buchanan, began using the term as a catch-all for left-wing cultural criticism in its commentary. During the first half of the 2000s, this trend continued to spread across other conservative think tanks, mostly notably the Schiller. Okay, I'm going to stop there. So here we've got a picture of Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, it's amazing. Look at this. She got, well, anyway. So the Tea Party movement goes on and calls out calls it all out. Okay, Jared. Cultural Marxism is the idea of how to undermine Western civilization, spread communism. They tried to do it financially and were not as successful financially. So they turned to culture, to the destruction of a common set of values, borders, language, and there we go. They've been doing it at least since the 1960s. It's ingrained in our schools, in our universities. That's why we see what's going on outside of the universities. To the point yesterday where those people down in Durham, North Carolina, pulled down the statue and destroyed public property, and not a cop around to do anything about it. None. So, folks, listen, I want to wake you up and see. Jared, pull up go to the one that says stuff, Jared, and pull up what it says, cultural Marxism. It's a 7-minute video. Does a great job of explaining. Fellas, guys, girls, please hear me. It's not about race. It's not about race. Race is the vehicle they're using. They're trying to peel us off, dissect us, to take certain groups and divide them. That's how they keep their power. That's why we see LGBTs, and we see the snowflake. We see all these different groups because they've done a wonderful job of cultural Marxism, of brainwashing all of us. This is the battle. This is what we're fighting against. Please tell your friends every chance you get. Quit talking about white nationalists and calling yourself. Say I'm not a racist, but stay away from all that stuff. Do not take the bait. Trump sort of took the bait. And as soon as you take the bait and make it black and white, black and white, black and white, they're trying to divide from President Trump the God-fearing people who are not racist and say, wow, if Trump's a racist, I can't support him anymore. It's not about race. It's not about anti-Semitism. Donald Trump, his son-in-law is Jewish. His daughter converted to Judaism. That's what the Nazis hated, right? His grandchildren are being raised Jewish. His lawyer's a Jew. This is, folks, listen, come on. Just put two and two together here. But unless we understand what they're doing to us, we're not going to get it. So, Jared, play that video. It's about 7 minutes on cultural Marxism. Share this with your friends because this is really what's going on. It is not race. It is not black and white. It is not any of that stuff. It's a divide and conquer strategy on the left. Go ahead, Jared.
Let us begin with a very terse description. Cultural Marxism is a broad term which refers to the advocacy and application of critical theory, and more generally to the cultural, political, and academic influence of certain elements within the contemporary left. The roots of cultural Marxism are to be found in what is commonly known as the Frankfurt School. The term arose informally to describe the thinkers affiliated or merely associated with the Frankfurt Institute for Social Research at the Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany during the interwar period. Critical of both capitalism and Soviet socialism, they sought to address the perceived shortcomings of classical Marxism in the pursuit of societal change. Their work came to be referred to as critical theory. Defining or categorizing critical theory is exceptionally difficult, for it pertains to a broad, almost disparate set of ideas, individuals, and approaches. The underlying and enduring aspect of critical theory, common to all its offshoots, nonetheless, is the creation of interdisciplinary theories that might serve as instruments of social transformation. During the 1960s, the Frankfurt School critical theory gained traction with some segments of the left wing and leftist thought in both Europe and North America. Today, its influence is felt throughout Western academia, dominating the social sciences and humanities. Gender studies and whiteness studies being two such examples. One of the most influential critical theorists and an original member of the Frankfurt School was Herbert Marcuse. A cursory glance at any paragraph written by Marcuse will set alarm bells ringing for anyone even remotely familiar with the current culture of intolerance on college and university campuses. Consider the following passage from his 1965 essay, Repressive Tolerance. The small and powerless minorities which struggle against the false consciousness and its beneficiaries must be helped. Their continued existence is more important than the preservation of abused rights and liberties, which grant constitutional powers to those who oppress these minorities. Social justice, feminism, neo-progressivism, and post-colonialism, to name but a few, are all movements inspired by or born out of critical theory, and thus all come under the umbrella of cultural Marxism. Be it gender, sexual orientation, family, race, culture, or religion, every aspect of a person's identity is to be questioned, every norm or standard in society challenged, and ideally altered in order to benefit supposedly oppressed groups. Classical Marxism saw class conflict as occurring between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, between the haves and the have-nots. Cultural Marxism views such a conflict as existing between the oppressed and the oppressors, between those with privilege and those without it. The working class has been replaced by minorities. Majority groups are typically defined as privileged and oppressive, with minority groups accordingly labelled underprivileged and oppressed. Heterosexuals are oppressive. Cisgender people are oppressive. Whites are oppressive, especially white men. Christians are oppressive. Those that do not fit into these groups are thus considered oppressed. It stands to reason, therefore, that if heterosexuals are oppressors, the solution is to encourage other forms of sexuality. If whites are oppressors, the solution is racial diversity. If cisgender people are oppressors, the solution is to encourage transgenderism. If Christians are oppressors, the solution is to propagate Islam. Theodor Adorno, another original member of the Frankfurt School, wrote a book entitled The Authoritarian Personality, in which he defines parenthood, pride in one's family, Christianity, adherence to traditional gender roles and attitudes towards sex, and the love of one's own country as pathological phenomena. This tendency to pathologize opinions and life patterns, which are not in accordance with its own political ends, is characteristic of cultural Marxism. Differing views are thus described as irrational fears or phobias. For example, a person who feels uncomfortable living as a minority in an area dominated by Muslim migrants may be decried as an Islamophobe, since wishing to live amongst those culturally and ethnically similar to oneself considered sick and phobic. When Pakistanis living in entire sections of a town or city to a mini Pakistan, there is no sickness, no phobia, only multiculturalism.
20 years ago, there were no Pakistan. No one is doing that. Fuck knows, man. This is gonna be Pakistan or England. It's gonna be Pakistan, man. They're all fucking shipping over.
A popular and propagandist manifestation of cultural Marxism is political correctness, in which media channels and social scientists make it a mandatory exercise to do the following: question common language. Illegal immigrants, for example, are to be referred to as undocumented migrants, while ethnic discrimination is referred to as affirmative action. Their ambition to define and redefine words can be seen as a means of controlling the discourse and altering cultural norms. racism and sexism have been redefined as a product of prejudice plus power, which leads to such ridiculous statements as, there's no such thing as sexism against men, and,
I, an ethnic minority woman, cannot be racist or sexist towards white men,
maintain an unwaveringly favorable view of groups which are marked as being oppressed. Islam is a religion of peace. Black Lives Matter is a peaceful, legitimate protest movement. Feminism is only about equality, and so forth. No deviation from the aforementioned narrative will be entertained, ever, nor will criticism. While communism, as Marx envisioned it, offered the resolution of class conflict in a utopian social system, all that cultural Marxism offers is a desolate form of eternal warfare between ever more narrowly defined groups of offended minorities. The only meaningful consequence that its wide application could possibly ever have is the marginalization of traditional European culture.
There it is, Western civilization. Everything you're seeing is being done to destroy Western civilization. Jared, I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to search. I thought I sent it to you, but it doesn't seem that I did. I want you to search for a statue, a destroyed statue, Durham, North Carolina. I don't know if you guys saw the video of this yesterday. I want you to see this because this is absolutely, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And when these people pull down the statue in a public building, first of all, there was nobody around to arrest him. I'm looking for a video of it, Jared. Yeah, stood on YouTube. Nobody around to arrest him. But I want you to watch the reaction of the people once this statue is on the ground. It's unbelievable. Jared, there it is, the first one. Hey, Jared, go to the next one because it's shorter. The next one is shorter. So they pull down this statue in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, guys, what would happen to me if I pulled up in front of Planned Parenthood and threw a strap up on top of a statue and poured that statue down? How long would it take till I'd be arrested? Well, now we see the cops are after him. Now they're trying to arrest him now, but they didn't then. Watch this. But what I want you to watch, hey, Jared, I'm pulled a fast one on you. Let's go back to the first one. I said, no, not that one. Let's go back to it, Jared. I'm sorry. This is 4 minutes. Yeah, that first one. I want you guys to watch this. Watch the statue come down, and then you watch the demonic activity of the people around it and see if you can't tie together. These are young people who are rebelling against the traditional values that their parents were raised with. This cultural Marxism is working. Go ahead, Jared. Here it's Johnny on the spot. This is outside City Hall. Here's the cops.
No fascist USA. No KKK. No fascist USA. No cops. No KKK. No fascist USA.
Now watch them. Watch them. Look how young they are. Demonic. It's something that's in Islam, where they pull down statues of Christian statues in Islam. Make racists afraid again. Look at that sign. Look how young they are.
He watches this group of people. I think it just happened.
Okay, you can pull that off though, Jerry. Can somebody explain to me why no one is arrested? What's going on? We know that what happened down in Charlotte, North Carolina, we now know the police were ordered to stand down. That was cultural Marxism at its finest. They put a fake right group against a fake left group, and then they let the two go to war against each other, and then they blame President Trump.
Exactly, right? Bro. Exactly.
And then President Trump does the best he can to come out and speak out against it. And the gaggle, the cackles, the jackals in the media at his press conference yesterday was like almost unbelievable. And you turn on any news reports, you go to look wherever you can, and they're talking about how Trump has stirred up white racism and white supremacy and all that. Folks, it's cultural Marxism. They are trying to create a false narrative to divide the Trump supporters. Can't you see this? That there are people who voted for Donald Trump who are not racist. And they're saying, oh, we can't be affiliated with them. Oh, Trump's for that. Oh, Trump is a racist. And the media is totally, completely creating this narrative, and Christians are buying it. Jared, 5 minutes, I think. Pull up Trump's press conference yesterday and ask yourself if you've ever seen any president of the United States disrespected as much as he was. And I want you to listen to his words and then compare that to what you're hearing in the media about what a racist he is, because he won't speak out against the Nazis. He's a Nazi. Yeah, all of his supporters are Nazis. Cultural Marxism trying to divide you away from the president. Just watch this, 5 minutes.
The fact that I brought in, it will be soon, millions of jobs. You see where companies are moving back into our country. I think that's going to have a tremendous positive impact on race relations. We have companies coming back into our country. We have two car companies that just announced. We have Foxconn in Wisconsin just announced. We have many companies, I say, pouring back into the country. I think that's going to have a
huge. They don't want to hear any of this. They want to hear about racism. Watch them create the narrative. Watch them create the narrative. He's talking about all the good things that are going on. Watch them create the narrative.
Impact on race relations. You know why? It's jobs. What people want now, they want jobs. They want great jobs with good pay. And when they have that, you watch how race relations will be. And I'll tell you, we're spending a lot of money on the inner cities. We're fixing the inner cities. We're doing far more than anybody's done with respect to the inner cities. It's a priority for me, and it's very important.
Left and white supremacists on the same moral plane.
I'm not putting anybody on a moral plane. What I'm saying is this. You had a group on one side and you had a group on the other, and they came at each other with clubs, and it was vicious and it was horrible, and it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is.
Sir, you said there was hatred, there was violence on both sides.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
And
if you reported it accurately, you would say.
They showed up in Charlottesville.
Excuse me.
To protest.
Excuse me. They didn't put themselves down as you. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me. I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue, and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
Well,
George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
The press is treated unfairly, sir. I'm sorry. I just didn't understand what you were saying. You were saying the press has treated white nationalists unfairly.
No.
I just didn't understand what you were saying.
No. There were people in that rally, and I looked the night before. If you look, they were people protesting very quietly the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. I'm sure in that group there were some bad ones. The following day, it looked like they had some rough, bad people, neo-Nazis, white nationalists, whatever you want to call them. But you had a lot of people in that group that were there to innocently protest and very legally protest because, you know, I don't know if you know, they had a permit. The other group didn't have a permit. So I only tell you this. There are two sides to a story. I thought what took place was a horrible moment for our country, a horrible moment. But there are two sides to the country. Does anybody have a final? Does anybody have? You have an infrastructure.
What makes you think you can get an infrastructure bill? You didn't get health care.
Well, you know, I'll tell you.
We can stop it there, Jerry. Stop it there. Now, fellas, I don't know what they wanted him to say. Are they denying that there's evil on both sides? Well, see, it's not evil. The left is not evil because they're doing good things. The right is evil because they're not doing good things. See, it's all perspective. But now understand how all they wanted Trump to do was to come out and say, I want nothing to do with those people, knowing that is his base. Not the KKK guys, not that. White people are his base. Time out a minute. Didn't 90% of people vote for Obama? 90% of black people vote for Obama, 95%. Did anybody ever throw race up in his face saying, man, those black people sure are following you? Man, you sure, they're blindly following you because you're black. See, that cultural Marxism, you see, divide and conquer. Somebody jump in. A lot of you listening are smarter than me.
Hey, Coach. There's a quote, a couple quotes I'm going to give you. Our hearts are with today's victims. White supremacy is a scourge. The hate and its terrorism must be confronted and defeated. The views fueling the spectacle in Charlottesville are repugnant. Let it only serve to unite Americans against this kind of vile bigotry. Now, that's a quote. You know that quote from?
I'm afraid to ask.
Paul Ryan.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have the president on one end.
Yep.
And then you have Paul Ryan and the establishment on the other. How do you fight that?
Hey, not only that, JR, once they paint you racist, you'll never get out from under.
Absolutely.
And that's what they're making sure that they're doing. And they're making all of us white people feel bad that we voted for Trump. And we only voted for Trump because he's a racist. And we're all racist. When they're saying this about Trump, they're saying this about all of us. You understand that?
Yes,
and unfortunately, there aren't enough people with a strong enough personality like us to say, screw you. Screw you. That's not why I voted for him. Hey, Vince, what if I said to you, hey, Vince, you just voted for Obama because he was black. I wouldn't be able to get away with that, would I, Vince? I did vote for Trump. I did vote for Trump because he's white. Yeah, I did. But so was Hillary. So I only had two white people to choose between. So I chose the white male. Oh, well, you're a misogynist. See how they play the game, Bill Vince?
Dave, I voted for Trump because he was right. Nothing to do with ethnicity.
That's right. That's right. But see, they're trying to undo right and wrong. Trump tried to take it. Guys, everything Trump said was pretty reasonable, I think. But his advisors, again, tell him, you have to appease them, Mr. President. You have to come out and you have to calm them down. See, that's what Charles Krauthammer and all these people are trying to do. They're trying to get Trump to pee on his own supporters. They have now painted all Trump supporters as white supremacists, and they want Trump to hoist his leg and pee on them.
Amen.
When the problem is the media, cultural Marxism. They're driving to a divide and conquer strategy. Let me encourage you with this. They're screwed. The left is screwed, and they know it. There is absolutely no pretense of neutrality anymore. They are open-throated against the president, all the media, open-throated against him. Why? Because they know something we don't know. They know that if they don't stop this now, two generations of hard cultural Marxism work is going to be thrown out the window if they don't stop it now. If they can't shut up Trump and they can't shut up those white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, they can't shut them up, then they're not going to be successful with the overthrowing of what they've been trying to do. And there are people listening right now, I hear from them all the time, who throw the race card at me. Throw it, dude. Throw it, dude. I got a black dog. How about that? I got a black dog. Now, there they go. See, they'll use that, right? And I'm making fun of that. Skin color ain't got nothing to do with it, baby. It ain't got nothing to do with it. And I'm sick and tired of Christians falling for that line. When, dare I say it, most churches are all white or all black. All of them. Blacks are racist that in that they like to hang around other blacks. And Christians, white Christians, are racist in that they hang around other whites. That doesn't mean they hate blacks. Birds of a feather flock together. How much time do we have here, Jared? Jared, Google real quick. Muhammad Ali and bluebirds. See if you can find it. You probably, if you find that, you're a genius. Anybody, somebody jump in here. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? I couldn't care less what the left calls me. I couldn't care less. No matter what they call me, it ain't true. I don't care what they say. And I would encourage some of you other ones that feel the exact same way. Don't let somebody else label you. Don't let somebody else tell you what you are. Don't let them tell you you're a conservative. Don't let them tell you that you're a hater. Don't let you tell them that you're a bitch. Don't let them do it. Embrace it. Don't run from it. It's the only way we're going to win. Oh, Jared found it. Muhammad Ali talking about, hey, as far as I can tell, this is a black man. This is a few years ago, smarter than us. Listen to what Muhammad Ali said about blacks and whites hanging out with each other. Go ahead, Jared.
Neighborhoods, we clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right.
Been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people...
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
But that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we much different.
That's, I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, bluebirds fly with bluebirds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me
when
I'm
wrong.
They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Yeah. Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzard like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
Right. And we have the problems, too.
I don't see
no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. And I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand. Yeah, I do understand. I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted out pretty brown skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry number of Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair. I really do. It ain't no despair. Yeah, number was, one, can't no woman. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I'll tell you. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. See? And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we're in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music, and they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate.
Hey, boy, man. Oh boy, what year was you suppose that was? What year do you suppose that was? And can you imagine? 71. And can you imagine if I came out and said that? When what he said, the wisdom in what he said is almost staggering. When we look around nature, I never think about that. Bluebirds, they don't want to hang out with buzzards. They don't hang out together. They're all birds. And see, it's all part of the cultural Marx. Do you really understand this? It's all part of the cultural Marxism. First of all, Muhammad Ali is black. That is not a race. That's an ethnicity. That's not a race. Blacks are humans. Whites are humans. Chinese are humans. We are the human race. Race. Discrimination, race is a product, it is a creation of the cultural Marxist. I'm not making light of slavery and the South and all. I'm not making light of all that. But Vince, you're black faced, brother. You are a human being.
Thank you, brother.
I'm a white faced human being. This is all creation of the devil to divide and conquer. You got three minutes. Somebody. Boy, I'll be all over. I hope I'm all over Right Wing Watch today. I hope I am. Because they'll see what they want to try to do. They want to paint me a racist so nobody will watch me.
Hey, Right Wing Watch, then you better paint me as a racist too, you idiots.
There you are, baby. There you are. It's been good today, hasn't it? Huh? Yeah, go. Go.
My wife was talking about, you know, them pulling down the statues. What's the difference between ISIS pulling down statues over there and these insane young people pulling down statues over here? They're destroying our heritage, the history. The
same spirit, Serge.
Exactly.
The same spirit.
They're both of their father, the devil. It's the same spirit. Why can't we see it?
Exactly.
Man, oh man, why can't we see it? Birds of a feather flock together. I think I've told this story before when I was coaching at London High School, and we were really, really good. We got really, really good. Had an element of black kids in London. We had white kids, black kids, and white kids. We took the big white. Do you think this is racist? This is how we got good. We took the big corn-fed white boys and put them on the offensive line. And then we took those fast black kids who could run like deer. We gave them the ball, and we ran over the top of everybody. We got really, really good because we appreciated each other. The big farm-fed corn-fed white boys appreciated their black teammates who could run fast. They said, hey, we can make a good team out of this. This is really, really good. But we'd have an amazing thing happen. When we would have team meals, our guys loved each other. I would get some of them on to talk about it. But when we would have our team meals every Thursday night before the game, you know what would happen? The black guys would all sit together. And the white guys would all sit together. Not out of racism. That's who they hung out with. Who they grew up with. Birds of a feather flock together. And this forced integration, that's what's causing all the sparks to fly. Man, oh man. They think I'm old fashioned. Maybe I am. But I've been trying to warn anybody who will listen that what we're seeing is the destruction of Western civilization. Through divide and conquer, race, sex, all that stuff we saw in the cultural Marxism video. It is alive and well in America. And dare I say it? Alive and well in the church. Church has swallowed it hook, line, sinker.
Amen, Coach.
God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.